This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Okay, now we're going to close with a refresher on the big news of 2016, the really big news. It happened not in November, but back in January, millions and millions of miles away. In January, scientists told us that we have company in the solar system, a ninth planet. Now remember, Pluto lost its planet status a few years back. It was voted off the island by astronomers. So this new planet would bring us back to nine again, even though so far, nobody claims to have seen it. But the evidence, they say, is solid, and astronomers published new research in October to build their case. The New Yorker's Alan Burdick, who writes a lot about science, talked with the astronomer behind this new, seemingly invisible planet. And the irony of it is, he's actually the guy who demoted Pluto in the first place.
I'm Mike Brown. I'm a professor of planetary astronomy at Caltech. I love trying to figure out how the whole solar system put itself together and what got the Earth and all the other planets to be the way they are today.
And you are the guy who killed Pluto, am I right? You have a book called How I Killed Pluto and How It Had It Coming. What's up?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of hard to hide if I have a book called that. So I am the guy who killed Pluto. Or what really happened is that I found the first object in the solar system that's more massive than Pluto. When we found that, you know, the question no longer is Pluto a planet? The question becomes, what is this new thing? And that's what finally led astronomers to really step back and look and say, are we really going to add yet another thing that doesn't actually make sense and call it a planet? Or should we reassess what we think planets really are? And I give astronomers a lot of credit. It was a hard decision to make, and it was the right one to say, all these things that I found and Pluto are not planets. Only the big gravitationally dominant things are really planets. And when all this happened 10 years ago, people would ask, so are there any other planets out there? And I would say, nope, that's it. They're just eight planets and we'll never have any more.
Well, now, just last December, though, there was this flurry of excitement about Planet X rays. People had claimed to discover Planet X, and you were the Debbie Downer.
Yeah, that was almost embarrassing for our field, I would say. The problem is that it's very easy these days with the internet for any random person to say they have done anything without much vetting, and there was no double checking, and it was just not true.
I love the language in your paper. You and a colleague have published a paper with the title, Evidence for a Distant Giant Planet in the Solar System. You say, we motivate the existence of a distant eccentric perturber.
Yes. So in the paper, it is the distant eccentric perturber. When we're actually talking about it, we actually call it Planet Nine. This would be the real ninth planet in the solar system, and the one that I didn't think existed 10 years ago when I told everybody that eight planets was what we had and eight planets is all we're ever going to have. We are pretty convinced there's a ninth one out there waiting to be found.
And it is, in your mind, a planet.
Yeah, I think that's unambiguous. So it all started with this object, Sedna, that was on a strange orbit that couldn't be explained. And we have tried for nearly 15 years now to try to explain the orbit of Sedna. And in that time, more objects were found sort of like Sedna. And it turned out that all of these objects, when they go on their very eccentric orbits, when they go very far away from the sun, they all go in the same direction. There's no reason they should all go in the same direction. They should all be randomly scattered around the sky, going off in different directions. And when we realized this, it's really started us scratching our heads. And after a long analysis, a year and a half of back and forth and back and forth, we realized the answer is that there is a giant planet which is sculpting the orbits of these objects, this giant planet that's very far away in the very outer part of the solar system. In many ways, you could argue that this is the this is more of a planet than anything else in the solar system. It is gravitationally dominating a region that is orders of magnitude bigger than the whole rest of the solar system put together. It's forcing all these other Kuiper belt objects into their orbits.
How long would it take us to get there if we were able to get there?
Oh, I love this question because even before we were starting to think about the existence of a planet out there, I've been working with a group who are trying to think about how to get as far as we can. It would take 20 years to get to Planet 9 if it's at its closest approach. I want us to go there. I want to know what this thing looks like. Yeah. I would, you know, if it's out there, I almost don't say if, when we find out where it is, I want to get those rockets ready to go as fast as possible.
What are the odds, do you think, that you yourself will find this?
We could probably find it in 10 years. It takes a long time to cover all the parts of the sky that it might be in, and so 10 years might be it. The probability that we are the ones who find it is not high. And, you know, I'm a little sad about that. I would love to be the one who discovers it. At the same time, I want to see it. I want to know it's there. I'm just going to jump up and down, even if it's not me who finds it.
Your colleague told me that you sometimes call it George.
Only because Neptune was originally supposed to be George's planet. I'm sorry, Uranus was George.
Do you have other nicknames?
We really actually call it Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is the single most common name in my family tree for a male child. Mm. And I always thought Jehoshaphat was a great name, as long as we use the nickname Fatty for it. So in fact, we actually call it Fatty when we're just talking to each other.
Mike Brown of the California Institute of Technology. He spoke earlier in the year with Alan Burdick. And you can find some articles about Planet 9 or Fatty, or whatever you want to call it, at newyorkerradio.org.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.